Hey, March 1st, welcome into the program. Thank you all so much for being a part of it. Facebook, YouTube Live, appreciate it as always. Your comments are wholeheartedly welcome. If you have them, put them in the comment section below. You could also tweet us at Hockey Talk Show on Twitter. On a night where I, along with other Islander fans, should be reveling in the fact that the New York Islanders plastered John Tavares and the Toronto Maple Leafs, when that should be the main focus and the title of this very episode of the Hockey Talk Show, we have to talk about the dumb Ottawa Senators and stupid Pierre Dorion firing Guy Boucher. That's what we're going to tackle and more on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Let's do it. All right, it is Friday at the time of our broadcast, 20 minutes to 6 o'clock here. So we'll get into the whole slew of games that we got coming up. But I want to talk about, obviously, John Tavares and his return to the Nassau Coliseum. And we're going to talk about, we're going to start off by getting into Pierre Dorion firing Guy Boucher, Liz's favorite superhero villain. He does have that wicked face scar. And he is now going to take that pretty-looking face over to the unemployment line. He is out, the latest in a long line of coaches to be available for being fired this season. And there are so much interesting things to peel away from what we have here. I mean, there's so much. But let's get into this list here. Courtesy of John Lane, at John Lane NHL, these are the head coaches that have been fired so far this year. You're probably looking at number one. I would say that he's the most important up there. Joel Quenneville, let go from the Blackhawks. You have John Stevens, Mike Yeo, Todd McClellan, Dave Haxtell, Randy Carlyle, and there's Guy Boucher down at the bottom. Now, you might be thinking, well, there's a bunch of guys and a bunch of players that maybe, bunch of names are going to be thrown around. Maybe these are replacements for the Ottawa Senators. I highly doubt any of these guys, with the exception of a Dave Haxtell, who's going to want to try and get back in the game really quickly, and maybe a John Stevens, maybe a Mike Yeo, who might be worried, well, I might not get an opportunity ever again. Maybe some of those guys. But your Alain Vigneault's, right? Who else is out there and available? Well, Todd McClellan, Alain Vigneault. These guys are going to run, and I mean run away from this opportunity. Absolutely, completely going to be running away from a chance to step behind the bench over at the Ottawa Senators. There's no reason to. Absolutely no reason to. So what happened? Let's go back and take a look at what Pierre Dorion said, and we're going to play Pierre Dorion's press conference for you guys. But let's go back and take a look at what Pierre Dorion said on Monday. This was Monday, after trading away half his team at the trade deadline. He said, and I quote, "Guy is our coach. I don't think anyone will disagree with me on this one, that I've probably made his job pretty difficult the last few weeks, and we're going to support him." This was Monday. On Monday. Friday, this guy is out of a job. I mean, just how crummy and awful of an organization do you have to run that this is what's happening? How crummy. Friday, they said, this is our guy. Friday, he's out of a job. Here's what I think happened. Eugene Melnyk is an absolute mess. The guy is disheveled. He is a terrible owner. Thank God Eugene Melnyk exists in the world, or else Tom Dundon would be, Tom Dundon is saying his prayers. He is saying his prayer. Thank God Eugene Melnyk is around in this world. Or else he would, by hands down, be the worst owner. Hands down. And there are some bad owners. Even though, this is like the greatest set of ownership we've ever seen in the National Hockey League. So what happens between Monday and Friday? I think, well, obviously they lose to the Edmonton Oilers, but that's no surprise. I mean, you traded away half your team, for Christ's sake. I think Eugene Melnyk got pissy. Who knows what happened really behind the scenes? And I think he called up Pierre Dorion and he said, get rid of this guy. Michael, listening from Northern Ireland. How you doing, my friend? Lee, other Mike, Aaron, and Liz. Good to have you guys aboard on this Friday Hockey Talk Show. So that's what I think. Pierre Dorion gave a press conference today. We'll listen to it, but I think he's covering up for the fact that his owner is batshit crazy, temperamental, not prepared for what he has ahead of him, which is this super long rebuild, right? And I think maybe, who knows, this is pure speculation. Maybe words were exchanged. Maybe there was an argument, a fight of some sorts. I'm not really sure, but you don't go trading away half your team, saying you're going to build for the future on Monday, and then saying, no, the coach is here, he's our guy, look at what we've given him on Monday, and then 4 days later, you fire him with 20 games left in the season. 20 games. I mean, everybody knows you just let, there's no reason on earth to do such a thing. You let the guy finish his run out. There's no reason. There's nothing that he does that harms any player on that roster or impairs them. There's just no way. Guy Boucher is a class act. I'm not saying he's the greatest person in the world. I don't know him at all. But I have not heard many bad things. But even the worst coach is not going to derail your young stars. They don't really have many of them over there in Ottawa. He's not going to derail your team in 20 games. He's not going to do more damage than what ownership has done to this franchise. I'm sorry. So letting him go is a complete joke, Aaron, to echo your sentiments. And, you know, it's disrespectful. And if you want to go a little bit further on the disrespect, and I could really speak to this because I feel like I was lucky enough to work in the National Hockey League for one of the absolute best and most well-respected public relations people that ever grace this game. And I learned a lot about what's right and what's wrong, what deserves to go out into the public and what doesn't deserve to go out in the public. Timing is everything. Communication is quite difficult. A lot of people think it's easy to talk. It is not. It is not easy to present a message. It's not easy to stay on course with a message. It's not easy to communicate between this living thing, a franchise, coaches, players, ownership, managers, and everything else, and fans. And as you know, as fans, that can be soured a lot of the time. There's a lot of the time where that could go really, really horrifically wrong. Well, the Ottawa Senators did that, and I'm going to show this to you because I'm sure even the most diehard fans probably don't look at press releases like I do. But when you look at the press release that the Ottawa Senators sent out to announce the firing of Guy Boucher, it is utterly disgusting and disrespectful. Ottawa Senators General Manager Pierre Dorion announced today that head coach Guy Boucher has been relieved of his duties and Mark Crawford has been named interim head coach effective immediately. I want to thank Guy for his 3 years of service. He is a good person and has been an excellent representative of the Senators. At this point, however, we need a different set of coaching and leadership skills to guide our team through this rebuild, said manager Pierre Dorion. In the interim, Mark will bring a different perspective along with a wealth of head coaching experience. Now, I don't have a ton of issues with this portion of the press release. I probably wouldn't have went too far into Mark Crawford. This is idiocy and inexperience on the part of Pierre Dorion. By the way, Pierre Dorion is an idiot. Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. You watch this show, you listen to this podcast. I'm not crazy fanatical. Having been in this world, I have a great respect for these people. You know, it's like when you laugh at something bad that happens to somebody in the news 4,000 miles away from you. Like, there's a lot of, you know, they're not even real people, right? when something happens to your neighbor, you're like, oh my God, that's like when you see people, when you interact with people, it's different. I'm not crazy fanatical. I will not throw the idiot word out there often when it comes to general managers. I know how hard it is to do that job. I've seen people do that job. It's difficult. Pierre Dorion is an idiot because you don't, in a press release, as you're firing somebody, start pointing out what's so great about your interim head coach. He's an interim head coach. We're looking forward to the different perspective and wealth of head. Shut up, idiot. You don't go, oh, here's this guy that we don't fully trust to run the team entirely, so we'll slap an interim tag on him. But boy, is his perspective and experience going to help us in the last 20 games of a season where nothing matters anyway. I mean, you got to be kidding me. There's just no, I don't know who the media relations person is in Ottawa, but they need to be fired along with Pierre Dorion if I thought that would actually help. But the fact of the matter is you'll still have crazy Eugene Melnyk there ruining everything anyway. No self-respecting media person gets this press release and goes, well, this is good. Send this out. I used to write stuff for my guy all the time when I worked for the Islanders, and he would lay into it with a red pen, kill it. He would absolutely kill it, and rightfully so. When I started, I was a dumb intern. I didn't know any better. I didn't know the tact and care it takes to, you know, deliver one of these messages. It would be halfway okay if that's where it ended, but it does not. They further go along to, during the, by the way, the press release, simple form of communication. Hey, public, this is what's happening. Do you know what's happening here? You're firing the coach. That is it. Period. End of sentence. When I thank him for his service, he is a good person. Mark Crawford in the interim. Hugs and kisses. Love, idiot Dorion. That is it. Nope, not for the Ottawa Senators, not for fantastical Eugene Melnyk. They continue. In tandem with an evaluation of our current coaching staff, we will conduct a search for a new head coach following the season. We will be looking for a coach who excels as a teacher who will focus on the development and growth of each player on the team, a listener who encourages feedback from players and the coaching staff, a communicator who lets every team member know where they stand and what is expected, a tactician who brings structure and game planning that will enhance our rebuild. What in God's name are you doing? You're laying out what you're looking for in your next head coach in the press release where you're announcing the firing of your current head coach. You're essentially saying, hey, everybody, look at all the stuff that Guy Boucher was really shitty at. I mean, what kind of an organization are you? I don't care if Guy Boucher did, you know, a horrific job and yelled and screamed at management and argued with the owner and did all these things. It doesn't matter, because you know what you have to do tomorrow and the next day is have a head coach. And you don't want to send a message to Todd McLellan or Elaine Vigneault or God knows whatever other candidate you want, that you treat your coaches terribly. You don't want your press release firing a coach to act like a Craigslist ad for your next coach. Thanks for the line, Liz. It is. It's a Craigslist ad. We want somebody who encourages feedback from players. What? What? You know, I love this about coaching in general. Everybody wants the coach to listen to their ideas, right? The owner wants his ideas heard. The manager wants his ideas heard. Do you know what would happen if a coach started taking input from owners and fans and the guy at the barbershop? You'd have utter chaos. Do you know what that job is? I'm the guy. This is my choice. It's the same for football. It's the same for college basketball. I don't care who you are. Tennessee, the Lady Vols, doesn't make a difference. The Ottawa Senators, I'm the person. This is the way we're going. You get paid to make decisions. You get fired for making decisions. That's the gig. It's not kumbaya. It's not, I like to encourage feedback from everybody. Like, yeah, do you want to hear from your players? Sure. Do you want input from the general manager? Sure. You certainly don't want what you seem to have brewing in Toronto, where the general manager is giving the coach players and the coach wants nothing to do with it, but the coach is making eight times what the general manager is making. And he decides, let's play Garrett Sparks when John Tavares goes back to the Coliseum. You don't want that scenario. You want there to be some agreement and understanding. There needs to be some feedback taken in. But at the end of the day, the coach makes the decisions. And what you absolutely don't do is put out a Craigslist ad for your next head coach, pointing out all the things that the guy you just fired didn't do good at. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. The Ottawa Senators are so blatantly disrespectful. They are so awfully disrespectful. I would never run a franchise like this. And Eugene Melnyk should be embarrassed because he's not going to get anybody of any significance to work for him again. Now, he'll be able to find a new head coach. He'll find another general manager because God knows how much longer. Now, you're Pierre Dorion. You're an idiot. How much longer do you think you have in this sort of scenario until you get fired? Because he did not have a good showing today at the press conference. Look at this face. Look at that face. Is that not the face of a deer about to get hit by a car? I mean, come on. That is horrific. Let's hear from the idiot himself.
Before I say anything else, our fans are crucial to our success. And every decision we make is to make sure we deliver to our fans a team that will meet our expectations. Merci d'être ici aujourd'hui. Avant de continuer, j'aimerais dire à nos partisans qu'ils sont essentiels à notre succès et chaque décision prise est avec le but.
Well, something we can't criticize Pierre Dorion for, and that's his French. He's good at that.
If anyone has questions, I'm ready. Si vous avez des questions, please go ahead.
Pierre, the obvious question is why now? Why are you waiting or not waiting till the end of the season?
Pierre, I have a question. Why are you an idiot? That would have been my first question. But you know why I wouldn't ask that? Because I wouldn't be allowed back in the press conference. That's also why you don't shit on the coach you're firing in the press release, because nobody of significance is going to want to work for you again.
We just felt as recently as probably this morning that Guy wasn't going to be our coach moving forward. And for both parties, we just felt that it was probably time to move on. Obviously, we made the decision, and that's why we named Mark as interim coach till the end of the year.
And with all due respect to Mark.
See, like the stuttering, we obviously made it. But if you go back and you listen to what he just said, it makes no sense. Yeah, we kind of determined that he wasn't going to be the head coach moving forward, so we made the decision. And no. What does that mean? I mean, everybody can see this, right? This is like I'm covering for my owner 101. Like, my owner flipped his lid. I have no choice. I have no spine or backbone. I was the guy who told my owner, let's go out and get Matt Duchene. We could build a team around him. And now Matt Duchene is gone. The number one draft pick is gone. Mark Stone is gone. Ryan Dzingel is gone. Everybody's gone. And my whole plan, Carlson is gone. I forgot about Carlson. That was still him. Like, forget Carlson. Like, he was the guy. Dorion, let's not forget, Dorion was the guy who at one point in time sat in Eugene Melnyk's office and said, I can run your team. I can do it. We'll try and get Carlson under contract. If we don't, I'll go get Matt Duchene. I would love to build a team around him. We'll bring Duchene in. We've got Stone coming up. We've got Dzingel. We've got all these guys. We can do it. We can build. We can make it happen. And everything he sold, Eugene Melnyk, is gone. And I'd be upset at Pierre Dorion, and I'd say he's an idiot and he should be fired if it wasn't for the fact that Eugene Melnyk is responsible for a lot of what's going on in Ottawa right now. A whole hell of a lot of what's going on in Ottawa.
have the budget next year to hire a coach. It's widely believed that Guy Boucher was the lowest paid coach in the league.
Not sure how to answer that, but all I can tell you is that we will hire the best coach available. That meets our needs for this team to grow, to set a culture that we need to have success, and to put us on the right path.
I have a question for you, Pierre. Guy Boucher was the lowest paid coach in the league. How are you going to get a good coach next time around? I don't know how to answer that. Yeah, no crap. No kidding. No kidding, you don't know how to answer that. Look at your face. Look at your face. Why would anybody think you have any chance of answering that or any other question?
Did that last time? We're going to do it again when we hire this coach, or whether it's Mark or someone else.
He literally said, we're going to hire the best coach that's available for our players, for our franchise. We did that the last time, and we're going to do it again. Oh, even the last time? That was Guy Boucher? That was the guy you just fired? How are you? How are you a general manager? And I'll answer this question. I'll tell you how he's a general manager. He's cheap. He's the only idiot that would take the job. Do you know who's going to take the job for the next head coaching position? Somebody who's cheap, who's desperate for the opportunity, which I don't fault. There's only 31 coaching positions in the National Hockey League that exist in the world. I would understand if somebody wants to jump at the opportunity, but this is a incredibly bad opportunity. I mean, incredibly bad. And you're going to get either an idiot like this guy, or you're going to get somebody who is just looking for the opportunity, you know? Yeah, it's a good question. Who comes in here? You know what? I don't know. I think Haxtell, or, you know, one of these guys, these John Stevens, Mike Yeo characters that have had the opportunity that aren't going to want to go back down and ride the bus in the minor leagues. I'd have to really go and look into the minor leagues and see who's available, who's out there, who's job. Because here's the thing. Let's say you have a great wunderkind minor league coach. You have to look at the national team and see where they're at. Because if you look at, like, what's going on with Anaheim and San Diego, like, I'm not leaving San Diego to take the Ottawa Senators job if I think my head coach, who's Randy Carlyle now fired, is going to get fired. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do that. If I'm the head, I don't even know who the head coach of the Hartford Wolfpack are, but if I'm the head coach of the Hartford Wolfpack and I'm interviewing for the Ottawa job, which I would do to keep my name in the mix, I'm not leaving anytime soon because I don't have faith. Like, any bad team, Los Angeles, well, these are teams that got fired, but any team that's kind of in the Pittsburgh, right? Columbus, even, you know, these bubble teams, if I'm the head coach of the American Hockey League for the Edmonton Oilers, if I'm the head coach, look at Chicago, right? How long was Joe Quenneville on the block talking about he's going to get fired, this or that? If I'm the guy in the minor league system for Chicago, I'm not leaving. I'm not taking that Ottawa job. No way. Absolutely no way. You know, Florida and, you know, well, the Flyers got rid of Haxtell. A lot of these guys are kind of on the block already. Buffalo's another one. If I'm the head coach of the Rochester Americans, which I don't know who that is off the top of my head, I ain't leaving. I ain't leaving for the Ottawa job. Even if they offered me the Ottawa job, I'd be like, no thanks. I'll wait till the Buffalo coach gets fired, and then I'll have my crack at it then. So it's got to be somebody who's really... And by the way, and here we are, March 1st. You can timestamp this bad boy. Keep track of it. The next head coach of the Ottawa Senators will be one of two people. It'll be Mark Crawford, which I kind of doubt, or it'll be some young player, player in the coaching game. He's smart. He embraces analytics. He listens to his players. He's really we didn't go out there and get Joel Quenneville. We've got the next Joel Quenneville. Yeah, how's that working out for Chicago? Right? Now, I love, what's his name? He was actually in the organization. He was with the Islanders when I was with the Islanders. But last I checked, Chicago, who could make the playoffs, is still on the outside looking in. Jeremy Colladin, I think, could be a great coach one day, but he's probably with the National Hockey League team a smidge sooner than what he really should be. Right? And we see this all over the place. This is the next guy. We're going the unconditional route, the non-traditional route. We could have went out there and we could have gotten Todd McClellan, but we went and found the next Todd McClellan. It is going to be somebody who has no other chance at landing another National Hockey League job anywhere else, because Eugene Melnyk is an idiot and he's crazy. By the way, that franchise is in dire straits. Because nobody wants to drive to where that rink is now. Their move to downtown Ottawa has fallen through, it appears. And it doesn't look like they have anything on the horizon that is going to get them through the next couple of years. Other than the fact that they have, I believe it was something around 17 first round picks or first and second round picks over the next 3 years. They have a lot of picks. Dorian, if he did one thing, he got picks. He did get picks back in return. But, I mean, as long as Eugene Melnyk is there, I have zero faith that they will turn things around. We'll move over to your questions. If you got a question about anything else that's going on, let me know. Let's see here. Adam, as a Yotes fan, I'm just sitting here laughing and taking it all in. Thank you, Ottawa. Well, I'm at it. Thank you, Edmonton, as well. Yeah, not so bad in the desert anymore, is it, right? You are no longer the black sheep of the National Hockey League, Adam. Congratulations. Phil, thanks for sharing. Bruins fan, you got to feel good about your Bruins. Somebody asked me about the Bruins. Somebody wrote me and asked me about the Bruins. I love the Bruins. I love the Bruins right now. I mean, what's not to love about the Boston Bruins? I don't care if they trade places with Toronto. I don't care if they fall to third. That doesn't bother me at all. Plus 32 goal differential, right? They are 9-0-1 in their last 10 games. They're playing hot as hell right now. Injuries don't matter. Guys having off nights don't matter. It doesn't matter who they plug in their lineup. Ryan Donato is going to be the next player. Trade him away. Doesn't matter. They plug along. Zdeno Chara. I hate him, but Brad Marchand, all these guys, they are doing just fine. Just fine. Nothing stops this team from moving forward. It's good manager. It's good managers, it's good coaching staff, good captain, good leadership, good everything. Good everything. Questions if you got them. And we'll start with my man, VGK coverage. What's up, Lou? How you doing, brother? Good to see you. Did I burn a Tavares jersey yesterday? We need to know. Let's address John Tavares. And we've all seen everything, right? I think you've seen everything by now. And if you haven't, Google it. What do you want me to do about it? He was booed heavily yesterday, as well as he should have been. Here's my thought on it. Everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do yesterday with John Tavares. The New York Islanders played that stupid video, which even though I disagree with it, and not that I disagree with the Islanders doing the video, I disagree with videos, video tributes for players that were traded away that are still going to be in the league for another 10 years. Like, when the guy's about to retire, give me a video tribute. Not, I just traded him away last week. We're too crazy with the video tributes. Too crazy. Enough with the video tributes. Stop it. You don't just give a video tribute for somebody that's been in your organization. I don't care if they've been there for 9 or 10 years. Stop it. When a guy's about to retire, video tribute his ass. All you want, up and down, first and second period. Go crazy. I can care less. But you don't trade away a guy that you're going to be playing against for the next 10 years. I don't care if he was your captain. I don't care what he was. So enough of the video tributes. But it's the current state that we're in, so the hell with it. The Islanders did what they were supposed to do, play the video tribute. The players did what they were supposed to do, which was tap their sticks and stand up for John. Right? The fans did what they were supposed to do. And by the way, did it in one hell of a creative style. I mean, some of the chants were just magical. You know, wear your jammies, past your bedtime, Barzy's better. The a-hole chant, I could have done without that one. That wasn't all that creative all that much, but, you know, everything else they did was completely warranted and right what they should have been. Where I have some issues is actually with the media, because there's this, and I respect all the guys. I speak with them. Some on Twitter, you know, it's not like I'm friends with any of the media that are covering the New York Islanders. I don't want to misrepresent everything, but I do have trades and exchanges with them at times. They're all very nice to me. I respect them all greatly, but I feel like they got this one wrong, where there was this almost lecturing on John Tavares and what to do and, you know, how to treat him and then how far you go and then all this and that stuff. And you know what? The fans can do whatever they want. I wasn't crazy about throwing stuff on the ice, although I think it's hilarious to do the snake thing. But I'm never crazy about throwing things on the ice. People can get hurt, you know? It sounds crazy, and maybe I'm an old man because I'm a dad now. But seriously, you throw a snake on the ice, and it clips Anders Lee's skates, and he goes down, and now we lose him for a couple of weeks. I know it's a long shot, but still, it's just, we don't need it, you know? The guy who threw the jersey when he was coming off the tunnel, I wouldn't have done it. I'm not crazy about it. I'm not going to sit here and lecture the fans. They can do whatever they want. Burn jerseys, cross it out. Everything they did was totally in play. But you have this thing with the media, and it's like, you know, don't forget where, you know, John was the captain. And for 9 years, I think Brendan Burke, again, another nice guy who I've spoken to, you know, John, there's no doubt about it, 09 to 18, and were the John Tavares years. Yeah, well, you know what? I took a look at this, and here's my stance on it. And I'm proud to, again, stand somewhere completely different from everybody else in the media. John Tavares, although quite important for the time that he was here, you could make the argument to me that he helped save the franchise. He didn't hurt the franchise. John Tavares, when you go right now, everybody's like, oh, and the media, they're too close to it. John Tavares was mediocre at best for the New York Islanders. And let me explain before you go crazy. He was mediocre at best. Point, case in point, do you know who the eighth leading scorer is in the history of the New York Islanders? Do you know who the seventh leading scorer is, or the 12th? Do you know who the sixth leading point getter in the history of the New York Islanders is? You could probably guess, right? You could probably go, oh, I don't know, Pat Flatley, maybe Derek King. I'm sure Bobby Nystrom's going to be up there. Was he a great player? Yep. Was he this savior of the franchise? Who without them, you wouldn't have a team anymore. Absolutely not. You've got to be kidding me. The guy, when you go back and over the course of the history of this franchise, was mediocre at best. He will never be remembered as an Islander for anything other than the guy who left. Okay? He holds not one record for this franchise. Not one. He is in the middle of the pack everywhere. Everywhere. You can put him in the category of a Pat LaFontaine or a Pierre Turgeon, who were some of my favorite players growing up. Okay? But never won a championship and never stood on top of this franchise. But you know what the difference is between a Pat LaFontaine and a Pierre Turgeon? They never abandoned the franchise. So all bets are off. He'll never have his jersey number retired. He'll never be remembered for breaking a championship. He will not be remembered for anything but being here for a little while and leaving. He will go down as long forgotten players, and there are a ton. There's Kyle Okposo. There's Steve Thomas, Billy Harris, Derek King. And make no bones about it. Like, I love Derek King. If I find out Derek King needed a kidney tomorrow, I'd give it to him. Do you know how many games Derek King scored in that I was at that brought joy to me as a little kid? A billion. But let's be adults and be realistic here and separate yourself, which the local media did not do. They acted like this guy was the second coming of Jesus Christ for this franchise because they got to know him and they spoke to him and he was really nice in the locker room. Yeah, well, you know what? I've had a little bit of distance from this and I can tell you honestly, he's mediocre and middle of the road at best, and he will never be remembered in the course of the history of this franchise for anything other than the guy who left before the team got really good. Okay? Before the team got really... Every other player, Barry Sanders, right? Never won a championship. Has like every Lions record ever. Every other player has a deep impact. Either you raise the banner or you just set records. And John Tavares did neither. So I'm sick of hearing about how he was so great and these were the Tavares years and everything else. Yeah, great. Take it to the bank. I have no need for it. It means nothing to me. 4 years from now, we'll have forgotten the time he was here. We will have forgotten it. When they're putting up stats about Brian Trottier and Mike Bossy and Dennis Potvin and hopefully Matthew Barzell, we'll look at him and we'll go, oh, yeah, yeah, look who's number 8 on the list. John Tavares. I forgot about that. 10 years from now, when we're looking at a player that's not even in juniors right now, and he's killing it for the New York Islanders, and he's setting records, and he's hopefully helping this team win a championship, we are going to forget who John Tavares was. Just kind of like how we kind of forgot Marius Tchaikovsky and Ziggy Palfy to agree. Yeah, we recognize the names. Yeah, we remember memorable goals that were scored. Yeah, they won this game, and yeah, they scored a hat trick in that game. And I remember when I was at the Coliseum when this happened, and there will always be that. But do you know how many points Ziggy Palfy has for the New York Islanders over the course of his career? 331. He sits 20th on this list. If I asked you who the greatest point getter was for the New York Islanders, do you know how much you would not say Ziggy Palfy? It's as much as you won't say John Tavares 5 years from now. Because I can remember a time when Ziggy Palfy was the savior. Ziggy Palfy is going to be the guy. Got to get Ziggy Palfy a contract extension because he's our guy. He's going to bring back the glory years. He came and went. He slowly faded out of the league. Now we remember him as kind of the quirky guy who wore 68 for a little while during the fisherman years. And then wore 16, and I can't even remember if he grabbed Marius Tchaikovsky's ass or Tchaikovsky grabbed his ass, but there was like a weird thing there between the two of them, and who knows what was going on, right? Like, that is where John Tavares is going to fade into. Obscurity. Obscurity. And that's a great question. How many people are going to call you a bitter Islander fan? I don't really give a crap. You can call me bitter all you want. I'm not bitter. You can go back to these old shows for the people who are going to call me bitter. And you can see how I said this guy was great for the team. I said this guy deserves an applause. Go back. I said in what would have been his last game at the Coliseum, I said on this show, the way I think Islander fans should treat John Tavares is a standing ovation every time he touches the puck. Let him know he is beloved and that he is welcome here for years to come. That's what I said. We live in a different world than we did 3, 4, 5 months ago. Things have changed. Because when I look at him now, I see a guy who is 7th on the list of all-time goals for the New York Islanders. And if I asked you 4 years ago, who's 7th on the list for goal scoring for the New York Islanders, you couldn't give me an answer. You couldn't give me an answer. You can guess. You take a swing at it, right? I don't know, Brent Sutter maybe? I don't know. You'd give it a shot, but you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. But everybody knows Brian Tranche has the most points in an Islander uniform, right? Everybody knows Mike Bossy has the most goals in an Islander uniform. We all remember those guys. We all remember the Cup years, right? We will forget about John Tavares. He will be not as important as our media is making him out to be. And that, my friends, are facts. That is facts. It hurts right now for the Islander fans. There's plenty to be bitter about right now. You could ask my wife. I didn't burn anything. I still got a John Tavares jersey sitting in my closet. It'll be there for the next 20 years. I don't throw away hockey jerseys, nor do I burn them. Hell, I got Michael Pekka jerseys in there, for Christ's sake. I mean, I got 1992 All-Star jerseys. Who the hell has a 1992 All-Star jersey? I mean, it's disgusting, the behavior of jersey collecting I have. But facts are facts. He's middle of the road. He's mediocre. This guy that we hung everything on will be forgotten. So don't sit here and tell me you have to acknowledge and you have to be thankful and you have to be this. Nope. Don't have to be anything. Not bitter. Wish him all the luck in the world. Wish him all the luck in the world. But he will be as anonymous and forgetful as Jason Blake and Matt Molson, who won us games and were as hopeful during those lack of playoff years, and we have since forgotten. We have way forgotten. Now, you might be sitting there and be like, I remember Jason Blake. He was awesome. 55, the 01, 02 years, 03 years. Yeah, it was great. But again, go ask a 10-year-old about Jason Blake and his contributions to the franchise. Go ask a 15-year-old Islander fan who the hell Derek King is. They'll have no idea. They'll have no idea. Just like the next 10-year-old 15 years from now is not going to remember John Tavares whatsoever. So don't sit here and tell me he's a nice guy and he's great and how could you burn it? Middle of the road. Useless. I don't have time for it. Hey, Dominic brought up a good point. I can't wait for that goalie movie. I want to mention this. There's a movie being made. I think, what is it? It's just called Goalie, right? That's all it's called. And it's the, I don't know if it's an authorized or unauthorized story. It definitely doesn't have any NHL backing behind it. But it's the story of Terry Sawchuk. And it looks really, really good. And I think it's going to be coming out pretty soon. It is, like, severely an independent film. But you know who's in it is Kevin Pollak, who I love. Again, if Kevin Pollak need... If Kevin Pollak and Derek King needed kidneys, I'd be like, take both. I'm pretty sure. Put me in a bathtub with ice and take both, okay? I need Pollak and I need King in my life. Gotta have it. It's like one of these really super weird biopics, but it looks really good. Maybe I'll put a link up on the Hockey Talk Show Facebook page. But it's, you know, Terry Sawchuk played in the game when there was no guaranteed contracts, when goalies weren't even wearing helmets. All right. And he played in the game. So that looks like a good one. Good point there, Dominic. All right. I think we covered everything I want to cover. I'm good for the night tonight. Isles are back at it with the Washington Capitals. That's going to be one of the good games to watch. We'll see. I predict an Islander loss tonight. Kind of the way like the Islanders get up for the Rangers and then they inevitably lose the next game because, you know, it's hard to come off that high. That was one hell of an atmosphere at the Coliseum last night. I don't know if they'll be able to replicate it. And Washington has been playing fairly decent, 6-3-1 in their last couple games. Let's see what the Islanders can do. Big test for that team. Big test for that squad. Based on, are you a legit contender? Can you go back to the well? Do you have more of it? Pittsburgh and Buffalo up in Buffalo. Super important game for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who find themselves on the outside looking in of a playoff berth. In front of them, Montreal and Carolina. If you would have told me in October Pittsburgh would be out and Montreal and Carolina would be in, I would not believe you. I would absolutely not believe you. Must-win game for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who seemed like they were cruising there for a little while but have since slowed down a bit. Again, I think you just have a team that has played a hell of a lot of hockey over the course of their time. We've played a lot of hockey under the, you know, Crosby and Malkin era. We'll see what they have left. Philly and the Devils, who frankly cares? Montreal and the Rangers, again, equally as important for the Montreal Canadiens to get a couple of points to fend off Pittsburgh. Carolina is in St. Louis. This is going to be a good game to watch because, again, you have a desperate team trying to stay in the playoffs, and you have one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League behind Jordan Binnington in the St. Louis Blues. St. Louis Blues are 8-1-1 in their last 10. This Binnington kid is on fire. I'm not sure if he's the goalie for tonight. We'll look it up quickly here. And Nashville and Winnipeg, I love this game because, you know, this is a this has playoff implications all over it. Like, this could be the Western Conference Finals, second round. Depends on how it all, I'm not looking at the standings right now, but depending on how it all shakes out, Nashville and Winnipeg, who are sitting 1-2 in the Central right now, could certainly be more of a second round or finals, Western Conference Finals matchup. So that'll be a good game for that reason. Vegas should just run right over Anaheim. That shouldn't be an issue for them. And Colorado and San Jose, super important there. Colorado tied for points with Minnesota, but sitting on the outside looking in because of the tiebreaker. So they're going to be desperate for points. San Jose sitting well in the second spot over there. They're just sort of cruising along because San Jose is home. Give me the Colorado Avalanche. See, you probably thought I was going to go the other way. Let's go Vegas. I hate the Ducks. Kessler sucks. Here's this is gonna be my parting question for you tonight. What's the worst situation? Ottawa, Anaheim, forget ownership. Ottawa's the worst. But you're getting hired to be a general manager of the team. Who do you want to take over? Ottawa, Anaheim, the Kings? This is weird. But if you take ownership out of it, give me Ottawa. Because I don't know how the hell you get out from under the contracts that they have over there in Anaheim. Those are some really crummy contracts. I mean, there is a problem that has been arising. We see it in San Jose a little bit. Although they were able to get rid of Marleau and get out from under Marleau. Joe's under one-year deals. But we see it in Chicago. Taves Kane, we're going to get there in a year or two, maybe three when it comes to Pittsburgh. People are going to start talking about Crosby in his last couple of years, right? You got some bad contracts in Edmonton and one really good contract that you got to start surrounding with other good contracts or you're going to lose out. Like, there are some teams that have some bad contracts out there. And then the other thing that we're going to talk about, which is going to be really interesting sort of when the season's over, is RFA gate. We got RFA gate this year. I don't know if you know this, but there are an ungodly amount of restricted free agents that are going to be available in this offseason that some of the experts are saying could be the year of an offer sheet. Could be the year of several offer sheets because there are so many across the board. And you look at some of the teams like the Winnipeg Jets who have Patrick Laine and Connor, these two kids, 30 goal scorers, are going to be up for RFA status, and they're looking at a crunch long term. They're going to have to make some moves. So they are ripe for an RFA offer. But, I mean, you look across the board, and there are a lot of teams that are going to be put in a really tough position come free agency time. That's why, all things considered, I was a smidge surprised, although you're getting a really good player in the Vegas Golden Knights, that they sacrificed a lot of cap for Stone. Again, you're getting a good player, so I can't argue with it, but I mean, and you can't really hang your hopes on maybe we'll get, you know, Kyle Connor, maybe we'll get Patrick Laine. You can't really hang your hopes on that, but it's nice to have a pocket full of money going into the offseason this year and being able to offer sheet somebody. Because you take a look at the Islanders, you take a look at the Rangers, like this is, I mean, if you're a Ranger fan, you are excited about the deep pockets of the Madison Square Garden Company and the fact that you've got nothing but space. And this is not like going out in the old days and signing that 34-year-old to a major deal. I mean, a lot of these free agents are in their mid-20s. So you lock up one of these cats for the long term. You could take my first and second round picks. You could take my next couple of you wouldn't give up 3 first round picks for Patrick Laine? I would. I'd give up 7. Who the hell needs them when you have Patrick Laine and you build around that? I mean, you're prime if you're a team like the New York Rangers. You know, it's what it's the advantage that a team like the Rangers have over the Kings, right? It's the advantage. I don't know what Colorado's status is, but I feel like Colorado has some cap space as well. Because they've sort of been in this build for a little while. The Devils, too. I don't know how deep their pockets are. Carolina, if Tom Dundon wants to put some money behind it now. You know, Vancouver's got some cap space. That's the advantage of having some of this cap space going into this offseason. You can throw those big RFA offer sheets around and not have to worry about it too much. All right, that's it for me. John Tavares is mediocre. And although it's important and new now, it's like your friend who's like so depressed. Picture you have a friend who is so sad and depressed. He can't travel to certain locations because his ex-girlfriend and him used to hang out there. And you look at him and you go, this will be over in 3 months. You will forget about this entirely. I cannot believe you're saying you don't want to go so-and-so because that was the place. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All right. It's like your friend who just broke up with somebody and you don't really care because, you know, he or she sucked anyway. You're just sitting there going, and that's how I feel. So it's not bitter. I just feel like this is not going to matter anyway. You know what I mean? Because he holds no records. He won no championships. He didn't get the person. He didn't have a kid with the person, right? You know, so who cares? It's not going to matter anyway. We're all going to get over it. I'm already over it. That's it for me. See you on the next Hockey Talk show. Enjoy the hockey tonight. Thanks so much for the comments and the questions. Remember to share all of the... I see that comment. Remember to share all of our stuff everywhere. And don't forget that we are available on all the major podcast networks, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Flippity Floppity Podcast Network, wherever there's a podcast, we're available. Make sure you guys share it on Twitter, Facebook, paste it up on your Instagram, and